1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's one verse that I'd like to read from the third chapter, and then I'm going to go to the 13th chapter. In verse 23 of the third chapter, it says this: "And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Now, if you'll go with me to the 13th chapter, and if you'll look with me in verse 3 of the 13th chapter, it says this: "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." I want to preach this morning on the subject of holy work. Holy work. As you go through the Old Testament, the New Testament, you'll frequently come across the word holy. I think sometimes that when we read that word, we have the wrong impression. Many have this impression of the idea of holier than thou. But really, what is manifested in the Word of God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is it carries with it the idea of separation, or being separated or set apart. I often think of the words, don't you? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And I think, When those thoughts come to my mind, I think that there's none other to compare with God. There's none other that can even compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, and we think, God is holy. We think Jesus Christ is holy. We think that God the Holy Spirit is holy. And when we think of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as being holy, we think of them as being set apart. Or we think of them as being separated from that which is not holy. The beauty of God the Father is holiness. The beauty of God the Son is holiness, and the beauty and the charm of the Holy Spirit is holiness. Holy, holy, holy. And then you go, and when I thought of that, the triune God and the holiness of the triune God, and then when you go and you can take your concordance or whatever you have, you can go through the Bible and you can see so many times that the Word of God uses the word holy. And sometimes when the word holy is used, it not only refers to the thrice holy God, but it also refers many times to those that God has called or those that God is using. In other words, what he has done, and I thought this morning as I heard all this singing, bless my heart. When I hear all these voices just blending in together and making a joyful noise for the Lord unto God. Now to me, what that is, that's holy. I mean by that, it's different. It's different. It's set apart from the world. I believe to love His holiness, to love the holiness of God, is to put forth an endeavor to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. when we see God as he really is. Now, I realize we do not see the fullest of that because we have considered a veil, or we have the flesh. But I believe there's times that God the Holy Spirit enables us to have a vision of God. And that vision of God is through the Word of God. As the Word of God reveals unto us that God is holy, and as we begin and as we see the holiness of God, then what it leads us to do, we endeavor then to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said, and it'll be said many times, when God the Holy Spirit enables you to look into the Word of God, the first person that you see is God Himself. And I realize that we not only see God, but we definitely see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the Holy Spirit, but we see Him as a triune God. But then the Holy Spirit enables us, after we have seen God, to see ourselves. And when we see God is holy, then it gives us an endeavor in our lives to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for Him. I believe that we then begin to see His righteousness. We begin to see His loveliness. We begin to see His truthfulness. We begin to see His goodness, and we begin to see His purity, and most of all, we begin to see His perfection. All of these things that God enables us to see about the great God of heaven. And then when we visualize that, then here's what happens. There comes a desire in our life to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to do the work of God. Nobody will ever be able to meaningfully do the work of God without having, first of all, seen God. And to realize that He is the God of the universe. And that's then when God enables us through the means that He has ordained, when He enables us to see Him, then that is what gives us the incentive or the desire to serve Him and to work for Him, every one of us that are saved by the grace of God. I believe that there's a desire to see God work in our lives and then to perform the same work in the lives of others. What do you desire most this morning? I believe that if you will think about it a minute, you desire that God would give you grace and that you'd be able to live for Him. But then what comes next is that you desire for those that you know and those that you love to also to know God through Jesus Christ and to also live their lives for Him. And brother, that desire is on everybody's heart here this morning, saved by the grace of God. And the more that is revealed unto you, the holiness of God and the righteousness, the lovelessness of God, the purity and the perfection of God, and all of these things, there will be a greater desire and endeavor to do that. There's basically four things that I want us to think about this morning as far as a holy work. First of all, I want us to think about a holy man. Now, like I said, and the reason I said this at the beginning, many people, their first impression is, when you use that word, that they're trying to be holier than thou. But that's not the thought. And that's not what it is. When I was reading my devotions, and I read across this in the 6th chapter of Mark, if you'll look in Mark chapter 6, and I want you to notice this in verse 20 of the 6th chapter of Mark, and notice what it says here in verse 20. And if you'll notice, he's talking about John, and it's in the context of John the Baptist and John being beheaded. But if you'll notice, and I want you to see this, and this just sort of jumped out at me here in verse 20 of Mark chapter 6. It says this, "For Herod feared John, Now notice, knowing that he was a just man and an holy. Now notice that. And an holy. And observed him when he heard him. He did many things and heard him gladly. Here's what I believe that John was as a holy. He was a person that was saved by the grace of God. He was also a man that had been called by the grace of God. Now we must realize that there are people that are holy men because they've been saved and they've been called. John was sent from God. But I realize and I know that that was not the only thing that there was about John. But John really went about the work that God had called him to do. And I believe that what John did, John had his heart in it. To do the work of God, it requires the heart being in it. You can't pastor people if you don't love them. You can't. You can preach to them. And you can't really do the work of God like you ought to if there's not that strong love for God and for that work that God's called you to. I'll tell you, when you have the privilege and opportunity to sing, you ought to have your heart in it. When you have the privilege and the opportunity to teach, you ought to have your heart in it. When you have the opportunity and the privilege to preach, you ought to have your heart in it. Whatever that you do in the work of the Lord, you ought to have your heart in it. I believe, and examined in the light of the Scriptures, I believe that John, there's a lot said about John, just like all other men in the Bible. Not a greater born among women. But I believe that we must acknowledge that all men at times have bad moods. There are times of neglect of seeking God. There are times of ill tempers. There's time of inconsistencies. There's times of wrong attitudes. There's times of sins of the tongue. There's times of unlovely dispositions. There's times of lawlessness. There's times of deadness to sin. That is in the life of every person that is saved by the grace of God. But it does not mean that they're not holy. It does not mean that they've not been called and separated to the work of God and to the calling of God. I'm going to tell you all what you already know. Heart work is hard work. Now you can do a work and not have your heart in it and not be hard, but heart work is hard work. I mean you really get involved. Your heart's in it. You really get into it. You know what that is? That's a holy work. That's a work of God. That's a work where we are separated to God and to the work of God. So, brother, when you put your heart into a work, it's a hard work as far as the flesh is concerned. Many times it's a grievous work. You know, we've got a lot of people that are really suffering right now in our church. I mean physically. We've got people that are really suffering. I went by the other day and saw Miss Florence, and you know, it really tugs your heart tugs your heartstrings. It does. I believe that we need to realize the, and we need to be honest about how painful these things are. I believe that there needs to be a humiliating repentance that we have. And I believe that there needs to be time alone with God. So what we see, first of all, is a holy man or holy men. But then secondly, we see there's a holy message. Now, half-truths are whole lies. What they are. Half-truths are whole lies. Many are not told to repent. And what the message needs to be today from the Holy Word of God is repent. Repentance. I realize and know that the Bible is so full of the truth of repentance. Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not after that you might believe him. There needs to be the truth preached concerning repentance. The holy message today involves around repentance. The repentance that only that comes and needs to be given by the grace of God. The Apostle John, when he said in the fifth chapter of the book of John, and there in verse 44, he said, how can you believe which receive honor one of another? And seek not the honor that cometh from God only. The old prophet Isaiah and all the Old Testament bared out the thought of how that we need to be led or we need to be brought to repentance. And Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55 and there in verse 7 and verse 9, he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. So the holy message today is that we need repentance. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came for the purpose to call sinners who are unaware that they're sinners. And I know that when he seeks them, when the Lord Jesus Christ seeks sinners, then they become aware that they are sinners. And not until that time do they become aware. And I know that it's said very clearly concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and this was said even himself. Listen to these words. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. And of course what he said, they that are a whole need not a physician, is what he'd said. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So the message, and I believe part of this holy work and the holy message, is that for sinners to be called to repentance. Why did Christ die? To call sinners to repentance. I remember, and I know you do too. Do you remember that when God began to deal with you and you were laboring under the weight and the guilt of sin? I remember it clearly. I mean laboring under the weight and the guilt of sin. And then God enabled you and granted to you repentance. And you repented of your sins. And then what did you do? You turned. Now what was that? That was a holy work. That was a holy work that God had brought about. And it was brought about by a holy message. And that is that sinners need to repent. And they need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I believe that in this holy work, there's not only the holy man and holy message, but there's also the holy means or holy methods. The means used in this holy work must not violate the righteousness of God. They must not violate His lovingness. They must not violate His truthfulness. They must not violate His goodness. They must not violate His purity. And they must not violate His perfection. You know, in holy work, the means and the methods ought to be holy. Not only should the message be holy, which is the Word of God, but the means or the methods ought to be holy. I know today that many have resorted to whirling in order to try to do God's work. I have thought of this often, and I don't know, but I've thought of this often, and I, through the years, have seen people in Baptist that have been in revival meetings in Baptist churches that God has gloriously saved. As far as the world was concerned, there's a nobody. As far as the world was concerned, they would never be known. They'd never be written down in history, in any history book. And I'd rather see that man or that woman or that person give their story or their experience of salvation than I had somebody that claims to be saved and is a worldling and continues on in the world and stays in the things of the world. Because I believe that a holy work is a work that's separated to God and is separated from the world. Today you hear all the times of means or methods like athletes being used, movie stars, musicians, singers, bathing beauties. And you don't ever read of it in the New Testament or the Old Testament. But you do read of occasions or instances where sinners were saved by the grace of God. And they gave their testimony, and they declared with their life that they were in a holy work, that God had saved them His grace and separated them from the world to the work of God. And I know and I realize that many today resort to all kind of gimmicks and all kind of contests and all of that. I believe that we are grounded and indoctrinated that not only did God choose the people, but He also chose the means whereby, or ordained the means whereby that they'd be saved. And the means whereby that they'd be saved was through the preaching of the gospel. Just exactly like we do on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, through the preaching of the gospel, and not resort to the things that the world has to offer to try to do the work of God. May God help us by His grace. To not only consider the man of God, not only consider the message of God, but also to consider the means. And God not only ordained the man and ordained the message, but He also ordained the means. And they do not change. They remain the same. I tell you, if you live to see your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and if this world is still standing like it is today, the means of people being saved will still be the same. The means of doing God's work will still be the same. The old message will be the same. There will still be the men of God that will be the same. The message will be the same. And the means and the methods will remain the same as far as God is concerned. But then fourthly, there is not only the holy means or methods, but there's also holy miracles. Now I'm going to tell you, a person that's been converted by the grace of God is truly a miracle. Isn't that right, Brother Jerry? It's truly a miracle. To see a person that is transformed from darkness to light, and to be given a desire to serve God when they didn't have any desire at all to serve God. It's truly a miracle. Isn't it a marvelous thing when we see God by His marvelous grace save a person? Quicken them, make them alive, bring them to the knowledge of a Savior, and then to the place of receiving that Savior. And before they're converted, you know, depravity is in control. Now, just because they're saved, they don't lose depravity. But before they're saved, depravity is in control. But then after they're saved, then holiness is in control. In other words, God is in control. I realize that that's why Paul wrote, when he wrote to the church at Rome, he said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And he said, "God forbid. How shall we continue in sin that are dead to sin? Sin no longer hath dominion over us." He didn't say there's no sin, but he said sin no longer hath dominion. Sin no longer rules, and sin no longer reigns. What rules and reigns in our lives after, even though we're still just as depraved, what rule and reigns in our lives after we're saved is the holiness of God. And that comes, of course, by the Holy Spirit through the preached word of God's word. So before conversion, depravity is in control, and then after or now, holiness is in control. You let depravity sort of take a free hand in your life today, and I'll tell you what will happen. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Lord's going to whip you good. And the Lord's going to, in essence, deal with you. You don't belong to the world. You belong to me. And now I'm the ruler of your life. I'm the one now that leads your life. And God will gloriously deal with you. For before conversion, there was sinfulness of heart, and it went to singleness of mind. There was wastefulness, and now there's watchfulness. There was wretchedness, and now there's usefulness. There was barrenness, and now there's fruitfulness. There was lewdness, and now there's loveliness. There was ruthlessness, and now there's truthfulness. There was moral poverty, and now there's moral purity. And brother, that's a holy work. That's a work that's brought by God. That is a work that God works in every person that is saved by the grace of God. And how thankful we ought to be. I like the little song, don't you, that they sang, "He's still working on me." Why? To make me what I ought to be. Well, what does Philippians 1:6 say? What does it say? "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Unto the day of Jesus Christ." So what we have is we have a holy work that God has begun in us. And that's why that there's, and it's a blessing. It's truly a blessing for this holy work to have been begun in us at conversion and now continues on in us and will be until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, and as I thought of this and I looked at this, and I know there's thoughts that will come to your mind this morning as I preach this, and you go through the Word of God, and you know, we've been called with a holy calling. We've been called with a holy calling to a holy work. And that just means God's called us to God's work. He separated us from the callings of the world to the callings of God, from the world to the work of God. And how thankful we ought to be. If you're here this morning, you're saved by the grace of God. Rejoice. Rejoice in this great truth. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, we pray that God would be pleased this morning to open your heart and to grant to you repentance and faith, and that you'd come to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then you'd be on the same trip that all of us are on. A holy work. May God help us this morning to realize and to be thankful for this great work of God, that God has brought in us and through us for His honor and for His glory. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing. If the Lord's speaking to you, then this church invites you to come as we stand and sing. What number, Brother Bobby?